Pace. Ce măreț Dumnezeu servim. Amin. Când mă pregăteam pentru mesajul din seara aceasta, mă gândeam ce ar vrea Dumnezeu să ne învețe în seara aceasta puțin. Și cu toate lucrurile care se întâmplă în lumea de astăzi, cu războaie, cu amenințări, cu ce s-a întâmplat în Boston, Dumnezeu mi-a pus pe inimă pace. Și nu pacea care lumea o dă, ci pacea care Dumnezeu o dă. Putem să avem pace cu Dumnezeu, dar să nu avem pacea lui Dumnezeu în inima noastră. So you can have the peace of God, but not have God's peace in you. In Colossians 3:15, if you want to put the scripture up there, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful." I'm using the NIV, so if the English doesn't match, that's King James Version up there. So I want to ask you a question. Do you have the peace of God ruling in your heart? Who wants the peace of God? Okay, half of you don't. I want to ask you again, who wants the peace of God? Amen. Amen. Hopefully by the end of my sermon, you'll understand. In John 14:27, the scripture says, "Peace I have left with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives it. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Amen. It is not the kind of peace that the world gives, Jesus says. The kind of peace that Jesus talks about and Jesus wants to give us, the world can't take away. That's why we can have the peace of God, and that's what I'm going to talk about, having the peace of God, not as the world gives it, but as God gives it. We need to understand what peace is. This kind of peace is not the absence of problems. Many times, you know, we talk about peace and it's when everything's fine, but that's not what God talks about when it says peace of God. We will never have the absence of problem as long as we are on this earth. We understand that. The peace is not the absence of problem, but peace is the addition of God's power in our life. Does that make sense? The world tells us when you have enough money in your bank, when you have a nice house, when you have retirement money, your kids are all good and behaving, you have peace. But how quickly can that go? And only a millionaire can tell you when 9/11 started, they lost half their peace or more. That's the world peace. I'll try to show you in a few scriptures, and our base scripture, our root scripture for tonight, if you want to turn to Matthew 14:22-23. So let me remind you again, the peace that I'm going to be talking about is not the world's peace, and it's not the absence of trouble, but the addition of power. And I'm going to read Matthew 14:22-23, and I'm reading out of the New International Version. It's the story about Jesus walking on the water. It says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat." In the NIV, I want to stop. I like this part. It says, "Immediately Jesus made them," the disciples, "get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by waves because of the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It was a ghost,' they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.' 'Lord, it is you,' Peter replied. 'Tell me to come to you on the water.' Jesus said, 'Come.' Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why do you doubt?' And when they climbed in the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.' When they had crossed over, they landed at Genesaret." This story clearly tells us that the peace of God can be had, or you can have this peace in the midst of the storm. I would like to use five words. The English language, peace, is spelled out of five letters, P-E-A-C-E. And I'm going to use that acronym to provide you with information and how to have peace that God gives, the peace of God. The first word is P, letter is P, and it's providence. In verse 22, you can put up Matthew 14, 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciple get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. The Lord Jesus told him to get into the boat, that to go ahead of him. They were not in a ship because they were out of the will of God. They were not in this boat because they were out of the will of God. But they were in this boat because they were in the will of God. God told them to get in the boat. Jesus told them to go ahead. Providentially, God actually led them into a storm. Jesus knew what was coming down later in that night. But he told them, that's why I wanted you to pay attention to that front. Immediately, Jesus made the disciple, and NIV says, made them go into the boat and go across the lake. So providentially, Jesus led them into this storm. What I want you to understand from this is not to think that if everything's right in your life, that you are living, you're in God's will, that you're not going to have problems. This scripture here perfectly demonstrates that. Jesus knew that there would be a storm. The Bible says, the scripture says, he knew all things, correct? So I know that these days there's a theology that goes around that says, you know what, if you're at peace, if everything goes all right with you, if you love God, if you go to church and you're faithful, that you won't have any problems, you won't have any storms. And that is so wrong. There's two things wrong with that. It's not true and it's not biblical. So I wanted to tell you this. There's two kinds of storm in your life. There are strong storms that are created by you, and those are correcting storms. And an example of that was Jonah. Jonah, when he disobeyed, he was out of God's will, but that was a correcting storm in Jonah's life. And there's another kind of storm, and that is a perfecting storm. And a perfecting storm, it was happening to the disciples. There's a storm that is you created by this, you know, disobeying God. Jonah disobeyed God, and he created that storm in his life. It was nobody's fault but Jonah disobeying God. And then there was the disciples totally obeying God, going into the boat, going across the lake. But Jesus was trying to teach them something. And that's a perfecting storm. Because as we will see later into my message, God was trying to teach him. Jesus was trying to teach him something. So if you're in a storm right now, God will not cause anything or will not allow you into anything that he will not provide for you. So the first word out of peace is providence. His purpose brought me here. The second letter is E. And it stands for entreaty. And all that is, it's a fancy English word for praying. Somebody's entreating for you, that they're praying for you. They're interceding for you. So Jesus is interceding for you. His prayers protect me here. He's praying for you in the midst of your storm. And he's praying and interceding before the Father. Because in the scripture says that Jesus is at the right hand of our Father interceding for us in our storm. So Matthew 14, 23 is the second verse. After he has dismissed them, the crowd, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. So what was Jesus doing on the mountain alone, you might ask? He was praying for his disciples on the lake. And you would probably ask me, how do I know that that's what he was praying for? Well, if you turn to Mark 6:48, if you want to put that scripture up, it says, he saw the disciple straining. There's another scripture that talks about this story. He says, he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by. So Jesus was on the mountain. This was just a scripture to back up. That's what he was praying for. He was praying for his disciples. I want to let you know and assure you that in the midst of your storm, Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father. and he's interceding for you. And you know what I know? His answers, his prayers are always answered. I know that one fact, that Jesus' prayers to his Father, our God, are always answered. So that is an assurance that our prayers he prays for us to the Father are always answered. That's an encouragement thing to know, to have peace when you have this peace of God. The third word and the third letter in the peace is assurance. And this stands for his presence comes to me here. Jesus is more real in your storm than any other time. If you've ever been a person that has suffered something and has gone through trials and tribulation and hard times in your life, you know that God is real. That's a time in your life that you will sense God the most. And at this, I wouldn't be real if I wouldn't share something very personal to me. Many of you don't know me that well, and the ones that know that I had a very short marriage. My first marriage was of 3 years. And there's nothing that tears at you and you wonder, where is God, than when you're all alone and your mate deceived you and cheated on you. But I want to tell you something. Assurance that the peace of God is with you is when I was on my bed and I curled up like a baby, and behind me this heat that matched my body like a hug, I knew and I was assured that was the peace of God. And you know what he told me in my spirit? I know where you're at. I know where you're at. I feel your pain. If you're in a storm, and I know that in this crowd there's got to be somebody that is in pain, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're facing, whether it's a child that's rebellious, whether it's a word from the doctor that does not match what your life is at right now, or whether it's struggling in life financially, or a child is completely rebelling and it's totally breaking your heart, or you're feeling something that is completely out of order. What did I say? Peace is not having money. Peace is not having something that the world tells you, this is peace. When you have that assurance and you have that understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus, that peace cannot be matched. That's why the scripture says there's a peace that passes all understanding. We humanly cannot understand the peace of God. It's not dependent on money. It's not dependent on living in the right house in the right neighborhood. And I wanted to let you know, that peace that I felt for a long time, because I said, God, I can't make it if I can't see you, can't feel you. And you know what? That moment when I was alone, I felt his peace, his assurance. In the storm and the waves, God will never lead you through anything that he will not be there for you. In Matthew 14, 22, 24, and 25, it says, and the boat was already a considerable distance away from land, buffeted by the waves and the wind and against the boat. Shortly before dawn, look what it says here, Jesus went out to them. You know what Jesus did for me? He came into my bed. I want you to know that peace, you can have assurance. Assurance. That's the peace that I'm talking about. The peace of God. You cannot understand it. The scripture says our mind cannot comprehend it. So if you want to have the peace of God, not the peace that the world gives, but the peace of God. First, providence. His purpose brought me here. Let me tell you, you're not in where you're at in your life because you controlled where you got, how you got there. God will use pain. He will use storms. He will use financial pain because his purpose, his providence, there's a purpose. There's a you know, in Romanian, scope. There's a purpose for your life. You don't just float around and now you're in Anaheim and, you know, you came from Romania. No, God has a purpose in the pain and the struggles and everything that you went through. He providentially set you here. So first is providence. Second, entreaty. He entreats for you. I want you to understand, Jesus, it's not like, you know, somebody puts you on a prayer list and they say, oh, I'll pray for you. It's almost like saying, how are you? Fine, thank you. It's like a repetitive thing. Oh, I'll be praying for you. I want you to know, Jesus has you on his list and his prayers are answered. The Bible says that his prayers are always answered. I want you to have courage, to get courage out of this, that, you know, when you pray, Jesus intercedes for you. That's what the scripture says. And fourth is comfort. So first is providence. Second is entreaty. God's prayers protect me here. Assurance, his presence comes to me here. Fourth is comfort from peace. C, his power sustains me here. Matthew 14, 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It is a ghost, they said. And they cried out of fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, then tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Come. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. You know it takes power. It takes extreme power to walk on water. Not any power that it's on this earth. Believe me. It takes God's power. Comfort is compound word. Compound word means it's a word made out of two. Come forth. It literally means with strength. So when Jesus told Peter, come, and comfort him, he said, come. He said, you know, that meant with, it means with strength. That means God was empowering Peter to come. Peter didn't walk on water on his own strength. That's how we can have peace, because you know what? Whatever we're facing, God gives us that comfort that we can make it. Why did Jesus do this? Why did Jesus send them on ahead of him, knowing that there was going to be a storm, right? Then he goes alone on the mountain praying for them. Then he decides to come on the water. Think Jesus just wanted to put on a show? No, I think he wanted to teach him a lesson, and we'll see how this goes. Why did Jesus come on the water? Jesus was trying to teach him a lesson. And please pay attention to this. This is amazing, because I was preparing for this message and Lily was outside and she came in and I was crying. And she said, what's wrong? I was gone 5 minutes and you're crying alone. I want to tell you the presence of God that came over me preparing for this message, because I know somebody needs it. And if one person is encouraged tonight and knows and understands and grasps and never lets go of this, how to have the peace of God, it's my message is enough. The very storm, please understand this. What does the scripture said? They were afraid. What were they afraid of? The storm. What are you afraid of in your life? The word cancer? Divorce? Somebody cheating on you? Financial trouble? Please pay attention. What did Jesus do? He walked on the storm. Pay attention. What is he walking on? He's walking on the very thing that they were afraid of. They were afraid of the storm, the waves. It says the waves were bashing and coming against the boat. And what did Jesus do? Walking on the water. That means he can walk on your problem. No problem is bigger than that you have, whether it's financial, whether it's your child rebelling. Understand that this peace, the comfort that God gives you, it's his power that sustains you. The very storm. Now, what happened to Peter when he took his eyes off of Jesus? First of all, he walked on the water because of what? God's power. Second, he walked a few steps, and then what did he do? He looked at the wind. You know what? I know that when you have a problem in your life and you look to Jesus, you walk on water. You have that faith. I can do this. God is with me. And then what do? You turn to your problems. What did happen to Peter? He started sinking. Why? Because he took off his eyes off of his power. That's where he sustained. He walked on water because his eyes was on Jesus. What did he do? When he was in the water, how far was he? Up to his neck, right? He almost drowned, and then Jesus reached out and got him. Let me tell you, Jesus is our head. We are his bride, right? The scripture says that God is the head, we are the body, right? This is my head, this is my body. I cannot drown if my head is above water. Jesus is our head. We can be above water. We can be above any circumstances. This is not positive mental thinking. This is the scripture that God says in his word, that he is with us wherever we go. And in our storm, he comforts us. We can walk on top of our problems. Doesn't mean they're not there. What did I say at the beginning? Peace is not the absence of problems. It's the addition of power. Power that the Holy Spirit has in us. When we gave our life to Christ, He indwelled us with power, the Holy Spirit, because that's why in the 120, when the Spirit of God came upon them, they received power. And what do? They cast out demons. They healed people. Let's go to the last word. It says, so I'm going to repeat them again. First is providence. The purpose brought, His purpose brought me here. Second, entreaty. His prayers protect me here. Fourth, third, assurance. His presence comes to me here, meaning He comes into your storm. Fourth, comfort. His power sustains me here. And fourth, letter out of peace, is expectation. His promise assures me here. Matthew 14:30. But when He saw the wind, He was afraid and began to sing, crying out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out to him with His hand and caught him. You of little faith, He said, why do you doubt? And they climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. I want you to know that no matter what you're facing, no matter what the problems you're facing today and in your life right now, you can have the peace of God. Many of us can proclaim it, but you know, it's something when you're facing with a problem and another to put it in action. So I wanted to encourage you that you can have the peace of God. His providence, purpose through you is His entreaty, His prayers protect you here. His assurance, His presence comes to you here. His comfort, His power sustains you here. And expectation, His promises are assuring of you that He is there for you. In closing, I want to close with a story. And this is a story that it's about a business, very successful businessman, and his name was Horatio Spafford. And he was born in 1828, and he died in 1888. He was a prominent lawyer in the East Coast, and in 1870, things started to go very wrong for Mrs. Spafford. His 40-year-old son, his only son, died of scarlet fever. A year later, the Chicago fire, he was a huge investor in real estate, burned all of his investments. After this tragedy, Mr. Spafford decided, you know what? Him and his wife and his last four daughters, they would take a vacation to England. At the last minute, before he left, he was distracted by a business deal that he had to take care of, and he said, you know what? Told his wife and his daughters to go ahead of him, and he would follow. And as the ship traveled to England, in visual distance of the shore, through fog, this ship hit another ship, and his daughters were lost. Four of his remaining kids, four girls. And 9 days later, he received a telegraph from his wife, and there was two words on this telegraph. She said, saved alone. A few days later, a week went by, and the first ship that he could get on to go to England, he got on. And as he approached the English shores, the captain, knowing the story by now, came to him, to Spafford, and brought him up on the deck. And he said, I believe this is the spot where your daughters drowned. And then their ship went down. And he went back into his cabin, and he pinned these words down of this song. It says, when peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I want you to know, all of us are children of God, and we can have the peace of God. And what I want you to do in the last 3 minutes is close your eyes, and wherever you find yourself in your life, whatever trouble, whatever you're facing, listen to these words. This is the song that he wrote. Amen.